So good evening. Oh, that sounded loud all of a sudden. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Alexis. I'm part of the 10 a.m. congregation here and occasionally get the delight and honour to be able to bring the Word of God to you. So tonight I get to talk about the Lord's Prayer. And what I wanted to ask, has anybody prayed the Lord's Prayer today? Got a few. Has anybody prayed it every day this week? Oh, you guys are awesome. If you guys want, look at the people who put their hands up and then get to know them and make friends with them, because these are the people you want in your life, people who know how to pray this prayer. I've been a Christian for 30 years, and you would think that I would know that Jesus, who's the most important person in the Bible, who the whole story of the Bible is about, told his followers, this is how you should pray. And, you know, there are times I'm thinking, oh, God, how do I pray? And it's written right here, Matthew chapter 6. If ever you're in a moment where you don't know how to pray, it's right there. And Jesus explains it. But anyway, tonight we're going to get into that into a little bit more detail. And what I want to get across tonight is that prayer is accessible. It's not something, you don't have to dress up for it. You don't have to do anything particularly in preparation for it. It's essential as a daily habit, and it's easier than you think. Sometimes it feels hard to pray, but we'll get through that. So I wanted to open in prayer, and it's a really obvious prayer, so bear with me. Heavenly Father, you are great and glorious, and we worship you. Teach us to pray. Let your kingdom come in us and through us. Let us expand our desire and the tools we need to be able to pray effectively and speak new realities into the world around us as you have done. Let us know you. Let your will be done in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives, and in our households. Show us if there is any offensive way in us or if we're holding on to any unforgiveness, and help us to repent and move on and to forgive, Lord. Help us to forgive. Save us from trials, and for any of us who are going through trials right now, I pray, Father, you help us to lay them aside and trust that you've got it all in hand as you speak to us. Keep us from any deception, deliver us from the schemes of the evil one. Help us not to partner with him in our speech, actions, thoughts, and beliefs. You are king in this place. All power is yours. We glorify you now and forever. Amen. I just prayed the Lord's Prayer for this service. There you go. That was an object lesson right there. So I think the Lord's Prayer is pretty miraculous. Turns out there are heaps of books on it. I've read this book this week, which is The Prayer of the Lord by R.C. Sproul, and How to Pray by Pete Gregg. I left out a couple of bits which are going to be covered in future sermons. This is part of a series, and I'm on week two. Kane opened with talking about the secret place and how to get into that place of prayer and preparing your heart to make sure that you're not doing it to be seen and all that sort of stuff. But yes, the books have been super helpful. And in one of the books, possibly by Pete Gregg, because I've read two books this week, I don't know where I've read what. So just assume that anything I say that's of any value has come from one of those books. And if you want to borrow them, there's lots of underlining in both of them and little stars and things to take it a bit. So feel free, just come and see me afterwards. But anyway, one of the things that he said is that the Lord's Prayer is simple enough that a kid can remember it, like a little tiny person can remember it, but it's profound enough that it can sustain an entire lifetime of prayer. That's quite an achievement in a really brief prayer. But the first question is, what's the point of praying? If God is sovereign, if God is over all and in all, and if his will is going to be done anyway, what is the point of praying? Daisy. But if we look at Jesus' example, like some people think that bad things happen to people because they don't pray enough. But if you look at the life of Jesus, he was spat at, he had people do all sorts of horrible things to him, people wanted to kill him, and he was the most sinless person ever. No one could be more sinless than Jesus, and yet Jesus would pray morning and night. So if Jesus had to pray, then absolutely, we need to do it too. Another book I read recently, which is called Imaginate, by a guy called John Michael Hinton, he was talking about how God likes to partner with us. He can do sovereign moves. And say, for example, back in Egypt when Moses was around, he could have just parted the sea. He could have just made that happen. But instead, he got Moses to hold out his staff over the sea so that it would part, because he values relationship. And same with in Egypt, when Joseph was, he set up Joseph so that Joseph could look after everything and make sure that nobody starved during that period. He could have just sent manna from heaven. He'd done it before. Well, no, he hadn't. Had he done it by that stage? No, I don't think so. I'm lost in my Bible. But anyway, he could do manna from heaven, but at this point he didn't do it. He just, he chose to rise up Joseph to be able to manage the grain stores and all that sort of stuff. So he values relationships. So part of what I want to say here is that the purpose of prayer isn't just to get things done. It's not about getting stuff done. It's because God wants us to talk to him and to take time with him. And probably the most common thing that I feel that God is saying to me is take time with me. And God values you so much that he determined that you need to be in the world. So the fact that you're here means that God thinks that you're incredibly important. He wants to talk to you. He wants to have that time with you. And I want to encourage you in that. Because sometimes we can get a bit lost in life and feel like we're not important, or, you know, why would God want to talk to me when I've stuffed up so much? But God really, well, you know that. God really loves you. I hope you know that. If you don't, I pray that by the end of tonight you will know that God loves you. All right, where am I up to? Excellent. So this prayer, the way that Jesus has built it, it seems to be in a specific order so that each line builds on the previous one. And he starts off with "Our Father in heaven." Doesn't sound too revolutionary, but at the time, it was super revolutionary. So it was not the Jewish tradition to refer to God as the Father. And if you look at John chapter 5, verses 15 to 18, one of the reasons that the Pharisees really wanted to kill Jesus was because he referred to God as his Father. It was a ridiculous thought to them. How dare he say that God is his Father? And here is Jesus telling everybody on this mountain to refer to God as your Father. And then he gives them the authority to do that, and then he enables them to be in that sonship relationship with God. And then he referred to God as Father in every single one of his prayers. Now, referring to God as Father can be a problem for some people due to the terrible examples that some people have of fatherhood. And what I want to encourage you in is, if you do have issues with that, if that is a trigger point for you or a difficult point for you, to seek assistance in that. You've got like a really caring, lovely leadership team here who would love to support you in that. We've got prayer ministries here to support you. If you need professional help in any of those areas, again, we want to come alongside you and make sure that you feel loved and supported and can get the help that you need to be able to know that God is a loving Father and to bring healing in that area. So next bit, hallowed be your name. This is the first of what they call the seven petitions. So a petition is where you're asking for something to happen. So we're asking that God's name be hallowed. Why is that important? This is a real question. I want you to answer me. Why is it important that we hallow God's name? Yes, that's exactly the answer. Because sometimes we forget who we're talking to. Like we talk about, you know, Jesus is my best friend and God's my best friend, blah, blah, blah. But he's also King of the universe, almighty creator, savior, holy. Yes. So hallowed means to be holy, to make the name holy and to be reverent and to honor the name. And like if you look at the Ten Commandments, the third commandment was keep my name holy and don't blaspheme the name of God. And so it's really important to God and it's important to us because, let's go to the next slide. So Pete Gregg, he said, we have a notion of divine love, but it's devoid of or empty of divine sovereignty. So unwittingly, we've unhallowed the Father's name. Like Jesus has become a bit of a swear word for some people. And then R.C. Sproul, who was the other author of this book, said, no worship, no adoration, and no obedience can flow from a heart that has no regard for the name of God. So we're asking that the name of God be kept holy so that the rest of the prayer can happen. We remember that God is God, Almighty King of the universe, and that we are part of creation. We are universe dust, but we're also treasured by God. We're here because we're important to him. So the next one, your kingdom come. So this isn't talking about a physical kingdom. At the time, there would have been lots of people thinking, you know, yes, we're going to rise up and overthrow the Roman Empire. But indeed, instead, he was talking about his kingdom, a spiritual kingdom coming on earth, coming through the hearts and the prayers of his people. We can speak out creation over into the spiritual realm. There's a spiritual realm and a physical realm, and I'll talk more about that a little bit later. Right, yeah. So next one. We'll go to your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, it's interesting that Jesus asked us to pray that God's will be done. One of his most famous prayers starts out sounding like he's praying the opposite. He says, Father, if this cup can be taken from me, please let it be so. Like, take it away. I don't want to do what is set up before me that I need to do. But then the next part of his line is, yet not as I will, but as you will. And again, we'll go to the next slide. So it's the highest expression of faith to submit to the sovereignty of God. The real prayer of faith is the prayer that trusts God no matter whether the answer is yes or no. And yeah, I'll leave it with that for the moment. So I was driving with Elizabeth Ma the other day. I love Elizabeth Ma. She's awesome. But anyway, we were driving with her the other day and we were praying for some things. And here is a side note. If you are driving and you're praying, don't shut your eyes. I hadn't thought that was a possibility, but we said, hey, let's pray. And she said, you're not going to shut your eyes, are you? I said, no, I'm not. So that's another awesome thing about prayer. You can pray anywhere. And for those of you who like to walk, like, you can tell I like walking. I really, really like moving around. I like having things to fiddle with. So in my pocket today, I have a little stone heart, which is nice and smooth, and I can, you know, do something while I'm praying. I'm not completely still. I find it very hard to be still. And some people find that if you have to be totally still in prayer, which is kind of what we're taught as kids, you know, fold your hands, shut your eyes, sit still, that it kind of cuts you out of prayer. Yes? What was that? Oh, I can't hear. Oh, I don't know what that is. No, it's just a, I don't know, it's a little stone heart. It's kind of cute. I found it once upon a time and thought, hey, that's going to help me pray because it reminds me that I need to love people. But anyway, so as I was praying with Elizabeth Ma, getting back to the story, we were praying and I said, Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in this area. And then paused mid-prayer to say, wow, that's about the most powerful thing you can pray, that God's kingdom would come. His kingdom is righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And that his will be done. His will is good. He is good. Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in this area. And just feeling the power of that prayer, it was really, really moving and really reminded me the power of this prayer that Jesus has given us. Because one of the things that we can get, when we say it over and over again, you can say, Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, kingdom come, will be done. On earth as it is in heaven, give us today our daily bread, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us, lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil, for the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And it can be zero meaning and it can be vain repetition, as Cain was talking about last week. Or as you stop and consider the words that you're saying and the power of the words that you're saying and the person who gave them to us, it you suddenly enter into the power of the prayer. So give us today our daily bread. I think this is the one I need to talk about the least because that's the one that's really easy to pray for God. God, I need this. Ba-ba-ba. Give me today my daily bread, whatever it is. The key, though, that I forget in this one is that it's daily. So I don't always come to God with the same thing daily. Sometimes I'll pray something and think, right, that's done, all over and done with. But we need to be bringing it daily. Forgive us our debts as we've forgiven our debtors. This is a bit of a scary one sometimes because sometimes people have done really horrible things and sometimes it can be a little bit hard to leave that aside and hard to deal with that. But the reason why we have to pray this one daily is because it keeps our hearts soft and it keeps our heart in a place where we're humble, and we know that we can't look down on other people. If we've been holding unforgiveness about people, there's an awesome story in here from Corrie ten Boom, which I'm going to read to you. So Corrie ten Boom was a lady in, help me out, Amsterdam, there we go. Lady in Amsterdam in the Second World War who went to, she was taken to a concentration camp. And in the concentration camp, they were treated abominably. Everything was taken from them. Somehow, by miracles of God, she ended up being able to smuggle in bits of Bible in her shoes or something. I can't remember the whole story. But anyway, years after the war, reading from Pete Gregg's book, How to Pray. Several years after the war, Corrie ten Boom was speaking about her experiences in Munich when one of her former SS guards approached her at the end of the church service. "How grateful I am for your message, Fraulein," he said. "To think that, as you say, he's washed my sins away." His hand was thrust out to shake mine, and I, who had preached so often the need to forgive, kept my hand at my side. Even as the angry, vengeful thoughts boiled through me, I saw the sin of them. Jesus Christ had died for this man. Was I going to ask for more? "Lord Jesus," I prayed, "forgive me and help me forgive him." I tried to smile. I struggled to raise my hand, but I could not. I felt nothing, not the slightest spark of warmth or charity. And so again, I breathed a silent prayer. "Jesus," I prayed, "I cannot forgive him. Give me your forgiveness." As I took his hand, the most incredible thing happened. From my shoulder, along my arm, through my hand, a current seemed to pass from me to him, while into my heart sprang a love for this stranger that almost overwhelmed me. And so I discovered that it's not on our forgiveness, any more than it's on our goodness, that the world's healing hinges, but on his. When he tells us to love our enemies, he gives us, along with the command to love them, the love itself. That's super powerful. So forgiveness is possible. And again, if you're struggling in those areas, I encourage you to pray, because God, you know, Jesus can help us and it sets us free. Lead us not into temptation. So again, in these books, it talks about how lead us not into temptation sounds like God's being sneaky and he's leading us into temptation. But the more accurate kind of translation of the Greek is save us from the time of trial. You'll see that when we talk about the Lord's Prayer, save us from the time of trial is what's said. So I've been going through some personal health and professional trials lately, and I have been praying that God would save me from the time of trial. However, I've also been listening to the Bible in One Year with Nikki and Pippa Gumbel. I tend to set that up while I'm doing dishes and stuff. But listening to that, you hear the life of Joseph and how Joseph... So if you're not familiar with the story of Joseph, potted history is Joseph was the favourite child of his dad. He had a special coloured coat and all that stuff. His brothers were very jealous, and so they sold him into slavery. First they were going to kill him, but then they sold him into slavery. He ended up being a slave in an Egyptian's house, and then the Egyptian's wife accused him falsely of trying to molest her. And so then he ended up in jail. And all of this was completely unfair. He hadn't done anything to warrant any of that. And then at the end of all of it, through many, many years of going through all of this and continuing to serve God and to serve his captors faithfully, he ends up being elevated to being the highest person in Egypt, who's looking after all of the food and all of the rations, and second only to Pharaoh, which was crazy. So I was thinking about that and how at the end of it, when his brothers were terrified that he was going to take revenge on them because they had been so rotten to him, like completely rotten, and he said, no, don't worry about it. God intended me to go through all of these things, or God brought about his glory in all of these things, so that now I can save you and I can save all of Israel, I can save all of Egypt. So my prayers changed. instead of me for my work and the various things and health, at the moment I'm taking medication 3 times a day to keep me functioning. Fun times. But yay, yay, thank you, Jesus, that there's medication that keeps me functioning. And so instead of saying, save me from these trials, my prayer has changed to be something a little more like, if these trials, well, no, it's still save me from these trials. Honestly, it's save me from the trials. But if these trials are being used to make me a stronger, more humble, or more useful servant to you, Lord, then let your kingdom come and let your will be done. Sometimes bad stuff happens, but sometimes God can bring about incredible good in us in the midst of the bad stuff. So again, if you're going through trials, absolutely pray for deliverance from that. But at the same time, while you're in that moment, ask God that he would bring about the best possible thing for you. Yes, my friend. Once again. What I would say, for me personally, I'll just answer for me because I can't answer for anybody else. For me personally, I will take the medicine because I know that the medicine is doing the work and making me better. But at the same time, I also know that in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, it talks about that he renews my youth like the eagle. I know that, you know, my sister has completely white hair, for example, and my hair is still natural coloured. Like there are certain things about me, and people always tell me that I look 10 years younger than I am. Don't know if that's still true today, but I think that God keeps you youthful, and that the best way to stay youthful, like the most youthful old people I know, are the ones who are in love with Jesus. So it's not exactly what you've asked, but I think there's nothing wrong with taking medicine if you need to take it, but... Yeah, I don't doubt that, yeah, looking up, we'll get into a little bit more of that in a minute. But yes, good question. So deliver us from the evil one. Deliver us from the evil one. So often we'll ask, Lord, save us from the time of trial, or save this person from the time of trial. But do we always finish it off with, but deliver us from the evil one? In our current culture, there's this strange balance between the worship of science and everything that's you can feel and touch, and then this strange kind of esoteric spiritual place that gets up. But using words such as evil or moral words in it tends not to happen so much in this space. But Jesus talks really clearly about Satan and you know, Satan has wanted to sift you as wheat, but I've prayed that you would stand strong and all that sort of stuff. So in terms of deliver us from evil, Pete Gregg gives some really useful questions to ask. So on the next slide. So the first question was, what is the enemy's strategy against this person or place that I'm praying for? So this is in the context of praying for someone else. So praying about that and trying to see, for example, if you've got someone who's coming against you at work and making your life miserable, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. So there may be other spiritual forces at work, and it really pays to take the time to ask, to involve God in this. So what might God's better plan be for this person or place? And then what can I do now, both prayerfully and practically, to thwart Satan's plan and to welcome God's better purposes into this person, place, or situation? And the other thing he talks about is that we can prepare ourselves through, you know, if you get into the Word, that's the sword of the Spirit. There's in Ephesians chapter 6, it talks about spiritual armour, and that's a really important part as well. And then I'll come to the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours. So this isn't actually in the bit that Jesus was talking about. This has been taken from a prayer that was done by King David. But it's really a nice way to bring us back to who God is and what he's like. So Jesus was the greatest example of prayer. Bella, can I get you to come up and do that thing now? There's a microphone just over here. There's a microphone just down there. So he prayed before and after every significant thing he did on earth. And he prayed every day. Now, I want to encourage you about the things you can help yourselves about. The other day, I was on Facebook, because I spend too much time on Facebook because I'm a 50-year-old woman. And lots of 50-year-old women spend too much time on Facebook. I believe it's out of vogue now, so apologies to any of you who have moved on from Facebook. But anyway, so there was this thing in there of a lady saying, I don't know why, what's the word? I'm feeling really down these days and I don't know why. And then there's this other voice that comes in and says,
did you exercise?
Nope.
Did you go outside?
Nope.
Did you talk to anyone?
Nope.
Did you eat well?
Nope.
Did you limit scrolling time?
Nope.
Did you make plans?
Nope.
Did you drink enough water?
Nope.
Did you get enough sleep?
Nope. And I listened to that and I thought, oh, that's me. I've been really whinging about how rubbish I feel lately, but I've been like lying around going, chocolate, I feel terrible, everything's terrible, I'm not going outside though, etc., etc. So that was very helpful. But then I was starting to think about what do we do with prayer? So let's put a prayer hat on with this one. I'm getting nowhere in my life and the situation isn't changing and God, I don't know why.
Did you pray about it?
No.
Did you remember that God's your father?
No.
Did you remember that God's really big?
No.
Did you invite his kingdom to come?
No.
Did you ask for his will to be done?
What was that one?
Did you ask for his will to be done?
Yes, I did ask for his will to be done.
Did you ask for deliverance from the evil one?
Nope.
Oh. Did you pray to it daily?
No. And suddenly you think, oh yeah, thank you very much, Bella. Suddenly you think, yes, applause. You think, well, what could I do to make my life better? Oh, I could pray into it. I could pray into it every day. I could pray into it going through the Lord's Prayer. So now we're up to the bit at the end of this session where we try and make it real and make it practical. There's a handout that's going to come out to you guys. And there's two sides to it. On one side to it, there's a request for a commitment. And this is not a commitment between us, like you owe me nothing. This is a commitment that you make inside yourself of how you want to use the Lord's Prayer. I encourage you, like Jesus said, do this when you pray. Do it daily. And within this book that I haven't mentioned yet, this is Spiritual Disciplines Handbook, Practices That Transform Us. Sometimes we've got to do something that's a little bit uncomfortable, and sometimes we've just got to make a decision that we're going to implement something or change the way that we do things. And one of the things in here that they talk about is fixed hour prayer. So there used to be this prayer of the hours that you'd pray at the morning, a prayer at noontime, a prayer at nighttime, and then there was a prayer in the middle of the night if you wanted to go that far. But even the first century fathers used to talk about praying the Lord's Prayer three times a day. Now, I'm not asking you to pray the Lord's Prayer three times a day because I'm not going to ask you anything that I think I would struggle with. I, however, am trying to pray the Lord's Prayer at least daily, if not a couple of times a day. And I'm trying to also pray it. If I wake up in the middle of the night, don't know about you, but if you wake up in the middle of the night and you're lying there just awake, sometimes just to pray really helps in that time. So I was praying the Lord's Prayer. When I did this the other day, my brain kept forgetting where I was up to and I kept abandoning it and going way sideways. But it's a great thing to have in your mind for those moments where you're awake in the middle of the night. So you don't have to pray all of the Lord's Prayer. You don't have to pray it in depth. But it's an awesome guide and it's a well-rounded prayer that Jesus himself instructed to pray. And it doesn't matter if you just recite it the way that we do it at church, you know, one after the other, because that, again, it builds the pattern into us. So on one side of the page, you've got a little commitment there that you can make. And I encourage you to take some time now to think about that and pray about that. Are you a morning person? Maybe you just need to make it the first thing when you wake up. Are you someone who likes to get out for a walk in the middle of the day? Maybe you can tack it on there and make it as you go for your walk, that you're praying through the Lord's Prayer as you go. Before you go to bed, as you're processing your day, can you stop and make it part of the Lord's Prayer so that you know that you've repented for any sins, that you've dealt with any unforgiveness, you've asked for anything so that you don't have to carry things in your mind into your sleep. And what I want to encourage you to do is to try it as a practice for Lent. So we're in the series of Lent right now. Lent lasts right up until Easter. And as a Lenten practice, often what you do is you give up something or you take up something in the modern context. So what I want to encourage you to do is to make this your Lenten thing. That for Lent, right, I'm going to pray every morning for 10 minutes the Lord's Prayer. But that's not for you to say. You can do whatever you like.